The reading today is from philosopher and poet Henri Frédéric Ariel. Let mystery have its place in you. Do not be always turning up your whole soil with the plowshare of self-examination. But leave a little fallow corner in your heart, ready for any seed the winds may bring. And reserve a nook of shadow for the passing bird. Keep a place in your heart for the unexpected guests, an altar for an unknown God. So, good morning again. This is the first Sunday after Easter, and I know that we UUs have an interesting relationship with the religious side of Easter. Some of us like the chocolate bunnies better than the empty tomb. Traditionally, in Christian churches, this Sunday is all about doubting Thomas, the disciple who didn't believe that Jesus had risen until he saw the nail holes in his flesh. I'm not going to talk about that story, but it's a great day to talk about the possibility of miracles. As I've said, my relationship to miracles has changed, and pretty much without my noticing. I found a clue about this new perspective from a pretty weird source, a novel I recently read called Helm. Has anybody read Helm? Okay, good. Ha! Helm is the name of a fierce wind, the subject of folklore and awe blasting through the landscape of northern England since the dawn of time. The book Helm is told from the perspective of the cultures of many historical ages, and each one has a particular relationship with the wind. The Neolithic standing stone building tribes viewed Helm as its own personality. In this era, natural phenomena like wind and river and tree were seen as beings in their own right. There was no real difference between human and other than human. And the characters in the book treat Helm with awe and respect. In the Dark Ages, which is really the Middle Ages, a part shaman, part Christian priest sees Helm as a threat, a destroyer of what man has made. He tries, unsuccessfully, to banish Helm through both the power of prayer and his own sense of magic and ritual. Because for him, Helm is evil. A Victorian steam engineer relates to Helm as an object good only for increasing industrial efficiency. And there's also part of the book about climate scientists using their measuring instruments to try to understand if and how human pollution is actually killing Helm. I have not spoiled it for you, I promise. It's a great book. I recommend it. But as I was reading, I started to notice the similarities between people's relationship with Helm and their relationship with miracles. In the Neolithic period, the idea of miracles doesn't really even exist, because there's no distinction between ordinary reality and divine action. Everything simply was. Existence itself was the mystery. Miracles don't exist until there's a separation between the ordinary and the divine. Once God or source is seen as separate, as somewhere or someone else, miracles become signs within a sacred narrative. Miracles confirm faith or reveal divine authority. Examples abound in the Hebrew and Christian sacred texts, the parting of the Red Sea, the resurrection of Christ. There's a lot of them in there. This way of viewing miracles thrived in the Western world up until the Age of Reason and the beginning of our industrial present. I think now you can tell I was a history major. Okay. The steam engineer is a great example of our modern myopically objective culture, where most of us still live. Miracles become problematic because they don't correspond to rational law or measurable cause. Miracles can be dismissed easily as unexplained phenomena, psychological experiences, myths, or symbolic stories. And that's the tribe I grew up in. My parents, my friends, my education, they all scoffed at the mere possibility of miracles. And so I've read the sacred texts of many cultures for many years, now as myth, as symbol, as a tool of the patriarchy to make sure there's a hierarchy of worth in humans. I've been able to come up with all sorts of reasons miracles do not exist. Only at the end of the book is there a glimmering of hope. The climate scientists are still fully enmeshed in their instruments, analysis, and assumption. Still, they're beginning to wonder at the possibility of an intimate co-relationship with the world around us and how we might be destroying that connection. Mulling over the novel, I felt like I was watching not only different eras of civilization, but deeper still, different ways of being human, different ways that each of us see reality itself. These weren't just different time periods I was reading about, they're different ways of perceiving the world, all of which still live in us now. Sometimes we're rational and analytical. Sometimes we're drawn to story and find meaning and truths through myth. Sometimes we feel that deeper, almost wordless connection to the world around us. We've lived a long time in the cultural zeitgeist of the Age of Reason. The belief that humankind is on an inevitable upward evolutionary spiral, leaving behind the barbaric and moving toward an ever more reasonable and Eden-like future. But maybe the shift we're being invited into in this moment is more complex and more sustainable. Maybe our future is dependent on holding all of these parts of ourselves up to light in order to see that each part reveals something important, that none of them tells the whole story. I could say it's about using a lantern view instead of a spotlight view. Or like standing in a landscape as the light changes, the land itself doesn't change. But suddenly you see something you couldn't see before. Which brings me back to miracles. What is a miracle anyway? If there's a part of me I didn't know about that never gave up on the belief or at least the longing for miracles, how would I describe them today? For me, miracles are a portal, a doorway, showing me a wider perspective, a greater perception than these two eyes alone can see. I am not arguing for supernatural spectacle. A miracle is not the suspension of natural law, but our suspension of a limited awareness. I'm speaking about an inner transformation that makes miracles possible. Miracles require a willingness to look for what we have been blind to, our unexamined beliefs, illusions, and assumptions. It requires the willingness to see that there is more to life than we can ever know, so much more than the small slice of the infinite universe we call our reality. Ken Wilber calls this an integral perspective. We no longer have to label intuition as higher or better than empiricism. We don't have to insist that rational thought replaces a belief in miracles. We begin to see miracles when we open ourselves to all that is, to the mystery, to source, to grace. How miraculous it feels when we realize we are already and always surrounded by grace, by mystery, that all that is. The miracle is not that grace appears. The miracle is that we notice it. Grace is oxygen. A miracle is the moment we realize we're breathing. Rather than being unbalanced by this immensity, an acknowledgement of that which is greater than ourselves can actually steady our nervous systems, plant us on solid, stable, unshakable ground. And that steadiness allows us to become a grounding for others. I believe we're called to be a lighthouse. As a lighthouse, we don't control or stop the storm. We don't know which ships will come by. We can't see the whole ocean. A lighthouse doesn't fight darkness. It shines, and darkness is overcome. As a lighthouse, we don't create the light. We tend it. We keep it lit. We choose to shine. It's a willingness to move not toward a love we cannot yet feel, but from love, that giant hug that grace holds us in. Most of us use our light like a laser beam or a spotlight, seeing only what is familiar, what we want, or what we're trained to see, rather than strengthening our capacity to see all of what's here. And we'll never see all of what's here. But with a wider lantern or lighthouse view, we can become a people who notice the light of grace, who see miracles. In this way, we can be a guide for those on rough seas, for those seeking sanctuary. Trusting in our foundation, we keep the light burning steadily, keeping navigation possible. As a lighthouse, we're attuning ourselves to the source of light, however you call that, by all names or none. The source of light which grows and glows in us, a pointer for people to know the peace of coming home to themselves. Thank you, whoever that is. A little grace, a little miracle coming by. Thank you. Spot on. Most of us are not mystics, but we can learn to include the mystical, mythical, magical, miraculous mystery that is all around us, seeing with our eyes, our hearts, and our souls. As Albert Einstein wrote, that eminent scientist, there are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle. May we choose to see. May it be so. And amen.